Hello, and we are back on the Save or Die podcast. We're going for another side adventure. We have more letters to read, as promised, as usual. Keep sending the letters in, and we'll keep reading them.
Vince, you've got a sexy voice.
Yeah. So let's get right on top of things. And actually, I think we do have a small announcement here, if I could just find that memo that we had sent out to all the individuals. But we do have a voicemail line. The voicemail number, area code 570-290-7283. Again, that is 570-290-7283, or the last four numbers is SAVE. Sorry that it's not an 800 number, but yes, you can call that number and we will gladly listen to your voicemail. I'll play it on the air, and even if it's not nice, we'll play it anyway. So, email number one.
Let's give the email address out first.
GM Glenn at... Oh, I'm sorry.
Play hard to keep hard finding that one on the internet.
That's right. Mike, what's our email address?
It is saveordiepodcast@gmail.com.
What could be simpler?
Indeed.
Me? Go ahead.
All right, let's read the hate mail. I mean, the emails.
All right. Our first email is from Nate. And Nate writes,
hello.
Hi, Vince, Mike, and Liz. I'm sure he would have included Glenn if he had only known that Glenn was going to be here. So,
well, Glenn doesn't even know it, so go ahead.
Says, thanks for answering my question in the side adventure. Liz, you were correct when you said I was wondering which system would be the least system shocky. And I think Vince needs to drink a beer or something before he records the cast.
Amen.
I have not started my Labyrinth Lord game yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I have another question regarding your website. Where do you get the art you use for each episode of the podcast? In particular, I was wondering about the art for the Red Dragon and Blue Dragon episodes. Keep up the great work, Nate.
All right.
It's a good question. Where do you get the art?
Well, you see, I've employed these little green creatures who draw these things for me. No, I've just kind
of... Kobolds?
Yeah.
From... Oh, we had to go there.
It's inevitable.
Yeah.
It's like our Doctor Who reference. It's
someone gives them to me because they donate the artwork. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now that Vince kills a player character or two every time before a side adventure, he's feeling much better.
What is this ritual sacrifice every time we have one?
No, Mike's just mad because he died in my actual play podcast, that's all.
I didn't die. I'm at -2 hit points.
Whatever. Anybody out there, now everybody's like, what is Mike talking about? As everybody knows, I do the Roll for Initiative podcast, and I also do the actual play for that podcast. If you're interested in listening to that, you can go to rfiactualplay.tk. And we have the Book of Sorrows campaign, which DM Mike is involved in, and who is now currently dying there at -2.
With the Book of Sorrows in his hand.
And Glenn
is not dead yet.
He's getting better.
No.
He feels happy.
I feel so, he feels happy. I foresee Mike dying.
I think I'll go for a walk.
No, you're dead. Next letter, Liz.
Can I get... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, our next letter is from Dave, and he writes,
Yar.
Hot. Whenever I see her, I think, what kind of infernal magic is this? I assume he's referring to Princess Ariel.
One of the many agreements we have received.
How did that poll turn out?
I think it's like 14, 4, and 2 against.
Yeah, I was one of the one against.
Yep.
I thought they were talking about Vince.
No, Glenn, they were talking about you.
And I got to start wearing deodorant.
Yeah, over Skype. That's really kind of scary, Glenn.
Yeah. Is there any more of this letter, Liz, or is that the end of it?
That was it. Dave just wanted to give his 2 cents about the hotness of Princess Ariel.
Now,
just to say, Janna of the Jungle is way hotter.
Wait. My opinion. We're just assuming it's about Ariel. It could be about Liz.
No, I think Liz already has her lover of listeners out there.
Really?
I will not comment on who that would be, but...
Hey.
Oh, we could make a few bucks off of this. No. Anyway. For another time.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Well, I'll give you a cut, Mike. Come on.
Anyway.
Next email.
She's got school bills. Anyway, go ahead.
So if anyone else would like to comment on the hotness of Princess Ariel, there's poll on Dragon's Foot, Save or Die Forum. By all means, go and vote and say something and stuff.
Yes.
Next email.
Actually, take a second there. We have another forum where, Mike, that you just opened up for us?
Actually, Finarvin did. Over at the original D&D forums. Whose
Yay,
address
Finarvin.
Escapes me at the moment. But there's a link to it on the Dragon's Foot SOD forum.
Yes.
Okay. Or you can go to D20 Radio, where there's some really fine podcasts on there, especially about Dungeons & Dragons 4th edition, 1st edition, and I think there's actually one for 3rd edition. I know there's a Pathfinder podcast on there. But go check those out, too, d20radio.com. Go on with the next letter.
All righty. Our next letter is from Don. And he starts off with save versus redundance before reading, because you hear this all the time. Hi, Cast.
Hi.
I just wanted to drop a line to tell you all keep up the good work. I'm a 26-year-old who is coming up on my second year anniversary of pen and paper gaming. The group I've been playing with consists of people almost twice my age who have been playing for about 23 years together. We mostly play 2nd edition AD&D and Hackmaster.
Boo.
Since first listening to your podcast a couple of weeks ago, I have been scouring the internet to find old school modules and things to run for Swords and Wizardry or Labyrinth Lord.
Yay.
I can't wait to try out one of these systems while I'm DMing for the first time. In short, thanks again for such an entertaining and educational podcast and for turning me on to more classic versions of D&D. Death to 4th edition, Don.
Well, I like this guy, but who's Cast?
We are the collective Cast, the Borg.
Oh, geez.
That's the fifth guy you added that just sits in the corner and doesn't say anything.
Crispy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not death to 4th edition, just life support, you know?
No, death to 4th edition. I agree.
No.
Anyway, that's an email we don't hear enough of, and I'm glad to hear it. Younger people who are giving the older games a try.
I think that's
vital. We're all getting older.
Yeah. We got a lot of young people's characters to kill out there, so.
Well, most of you are getting older. I have an enchanted portrait in my attic that keeps me young and fresh.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
It's true.
Huh?
Yeah, but if you look at it, you'll just become your real age anyway, so, right?
It's called Rejuva?
No. Okay. Well, cool. Thanks for writing in, and we appreciate that. Cool. Next.
Our next email is also from Don.
Yay!
He says, hello. Hello again, Cast. It has come to my attention that in writing my first email to you, I left something out. The reason may have been that I didn't want to further annoy DM Vince, but it's too bad, I will ask anyway.
Aww.
Is there even the smallest chance at getting a side adventure to review the FASA Doctor Who RPG from 1985?
Not a chance in hell.
Wow, man.
Before DM Vince is allowed to say no... It should be noted that the FASA version of Doctor Who RPG came in a box. If it's in a box, you all will talk about it.
Well,
being a huge Doctor Who fan and pen and paper gamer, my FASA set is the pride of my collection. I would love to hear your thoughts on the system. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Don. P.S. I have not run the system myself, but I think the information in the books is priceless to have to a fan of the show. This is very true.
Oh, I so want to mock you.
As much as I love Doctor Who, I just don't think this show is about classic Dungeons and Dragons in a box, and if we go down that route, we're going to be, you know,
buried
with requests for to cover other games. So
he has a point, though.
What, about it being in a box?
Yeah, we did say if it's in a box, we'll review it.
A podcast about classic Dungeons and Dragons, if
I know,
it's in a box, we'll review.
He's calling us out on a technicality, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, like we did mention in the last regular podcast, or like I mentioned when we were doing the 15 games in 15 minutes thing, you know, while we have the FOSSA Doctor Who RPG, I've never actually played it. It's like, I own it, but I've never played in it, so I wouldn't really be able to give much of a review on how the rules work because I haven't experienced it for myself.
Yeah, me neither. I know the system is based on the FOSSA Star Trek rules, which I have played a long time ago, but there are some differences.
We're talking about... See, when I was married to my first wife, we had this game. We're talking about the box set with the picture of Tom Baker on the front, right?
Yep.
Okay. I remember it. Yeah, I used to like Sandman, too, but then I was wrong. Anyway.
How can you play a Doctor Who role-playing game? Isn't there supposed to be one Doctor at one point in time?
There's a lot of Gallifreyans out there, too, and a lot of Time Lords.
Yeah, his species is the Time Lords, which was a whole planet of people, though most of them sat around and grumped a lot, mostly.
Yeah, they watched the universe and just, you know, talked about how it's all going to hell in a handbasket. And some of them, like the Doctor, decided to actually go do something about it.
But the vast majority just sat around and complained.
So, knowing nothing about Doctor Who, so Doctor Who was the Doctor, not Doctor Who itself?
No, it's but what about just the Doctor.
What about the Doctor Who movie where he was referenced as Doctor Who?
They did that? I never saw that.
Are you talking about the Fox movie?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of interesting because, and I'm sorry because we are totally going off into Doctor Who land here.
Well, that's honestly, we can talk.
You are.
Honestly, this is...
You guys started it.
This is what side adventures are. Basically, whatever we want to talk about, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, they have actually kind of played on that in several of the older Doctor Who episodes. There have been instances where the Doctor was referred to specifically as Doctor Who. And, you know, sometimes it's kind of like an in-joke where he'll introduce himself or someone will introduce him and refer to him as the Doctor, and someone will say, Doctor Who? Hmm. So they do that every once in a while to kind of mess with you.
I think it's kind of like the Big Lebowski. You never call him that. You call him the dude. So you always call him the Doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the time booth flies around like a plane?
It can. Though mostly it only did that in the new series because they actually had a special effects budget. But generally, the time machine, the TARDIS, is supposed to mimic anything in its environment in order to blend in.
Right.
But the Doctor's got stuck as a 1950s police police call box, and he's never gotten around to getting it fixed.
Ah.
Which is why it looks like a phone booth.
Ah. Okay.
And so, you feel so much better knowing all this.
Yeah, pretty much. I still have yet to watch it on Netflix. It's still sitting there in my queue.
As you're going, dare I?
I don't know, because they said the first time you watch it, the first Doctor you see is going to be your favorite Doctor, and the second Doctor that replaces that Doctor is the Doctor you're going to hate, so... Isn't that true?
I don't know. I liked Eccleston, but... You know, I do think Tennant was better. That doesn't mean I don't like Eccleston, but, you know, of the two, I think Tennant was better. But then Eccleston was so dark and depressed because of the destruction of Gallifrey. So
They killed Gallifrey? Oh, man.
Yeah, there was... Spoiler alert. When they restarted the series, the Time Lords and the Daleks at a final big throwdown and the time war, and basically it ended by wiping both species out of the time stream.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
So the Doctor is literally the last of his kind.
Yeah, he was at the center of it somehow, which has never been fully explained, but yeah, he's alone.
You should talk to Spock about that.
Yeah, well.
Now, has there ever been an episode where there's been one Doctor together with another Doctor, or no, they've never met
each
other?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Only a special.
Yeah, they usually do specials like that.
The five Doctors. Pretty soon it's going to be the Doctor Convention.
The panel of Doctors.
Yes. Well, Baker's now the oldest living Doctor, so the other three are dead.
Remember, is he the guy with the curly hair or no?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
with the scarf. Yeah,
the huge scarf, da-da-da.
Dressed like Liberace or whatever? Or
No, that was the one before him.
Oh, okay.
With the big white hair?
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
White hair. Yeah, that was Pertwee. He was the third, and he died a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, like I said, once Baker left, so did I. That's the extent of my Doctor Who knowledge right there.
Ah.
Okay. Why am I wasting time on this?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know if you're going to like the next one any better. Go ahead, Liz.
Okay.
Oh, back to the original question. I guess we could take a look at the box set, all of us, and give you a review on it if you really want us to.
For a side adventure.
Now, if Judges Guild had produced it, yeah. I still wouldn't review it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if y'all want to do it as a side adventure, sure. After all, you know, Vince, you're the boss.
It could be Vince and Liz.
Well, that's what pretty much the whole original idea of side adventures were, emails and just a chance to just talk about anything. So I guess we could do that if people really want us to do that.
Of course, that means we'll have to actually break the game out and play it.
Someone did write in our forums on Dragonsfoot, they did want to hear actual play of Basic, too.
What you guys were doing? Mm. Oh, okay, that's the other
yeah.
one. So. Yeah, that's 20. I wonder if I could convert my game to Basic. Probably everybody would kill me. Oh, well. We'll see what happens.
Mm. Next letter.
Next letter from Robert Pinnell. Thorkammer.
Thorky.
He says, hi. Okay, well, you guys had your turn at a boys' sod pod. How about letting Liz get some of her gal pals together and doing a show from the feminine perspective?
Okay. I don't think I like that sod pod.
So. Yeah, I don't either. I really
feel like I have to cover my butt or something.
I like sod cast. That's fine.
I would be fascinated to hear their thoughts on what makes a good adventure. Do vampire dudes turn on female PCs? Does being the only gal in a party of slobby dudes out in the wilds pose any feminine problems, etc.? Can't wait to hear that show. Thorky Stalker. Hee hee hee.
You want to listen to girls doing D&D? Go listen to porn stars playing D&D. There's a podcast for that.
I've
really?
Actually heard that.
Why don't you give me
is that a podcast? Is that a podcast?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, well.
I have to go find that. I mean, I remember I used to read the blog, but I didn't know it was an actual podcast.
Yeah, but
dude, we are so there. We are so there.
Dude, they're disgusting, the girls. Sorry.
Okay, never mind.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I don't want to do that.
They're porn stars, but they look like they're like gothic, like freak porn stars. And maybe one of them is good looking. The rest of them are just like, bleh.
Could be worse. It could be dressed as clowns.
That's kind of creepy.
Well, I guess it's more I just wanted to hear how they gamed. I wasn't.
Yeah, sure, Mike. Sure, sure. Sure thing, Mike. So, Liz, while you're there not beating Mike up, what do you think about an all-girl podcast?
Oh, gosh. I would have to try and get some of my female friends together. I'm not sure if we'd be able to do it, because I don't know just tons of girls who game. I've got a lot of female friends, but very few of them actually game themselves. And of the ones that do, I think only one of them already has Skype and a headset. So there'd be some logistics involved in this, but it might be doable.
I can produce it. I'll record it, and I'll just keep quiet, but...
Look, just grab Julie, and you won't have any problem filling the time. You and Julie...
It would be nice to have more than 2 points of view, though.
For one
point. Julie gives you several.
Well, I don't think anybody knows who Julie is on this podcast.
Julie Overson, I'm sorry. That's still no clue.
That's another excellent podcast. 19 Nocturne Boulevard?
That's right, 19 Nocturne Boulevard.
You have a website?
There's some really good shows on there.
They do.
Website for that so we can give her a proper plug? Or
Glenn?
Well, you can find her at .com.
.com.
Yeah.
19 Nocturne, that's 19nocturne.com.
There you go.
Yes. Fun episodes on there. There's even a couple that are gaming-oriented or fantasy-oriented.
Uh-huh.
There's one definitely that's gaming-oriented.
Yeah, it's some really good audio dramas she does. I can't believe that she did get a professional contract, I believe, right, Glenn?
Well, she's doing the audio drama, but she's also written film scripts, and one of them actually got picked up by an indie company, and they're going to go into production early next year, around March.
That was right.
Oh, excellent.
That was right, yeah. I forgot. Thank you.
She's helping rewrite the script and do some other stuff for him right now.
Hmm. Okay, cool. And do we have any more emails?
Okay, I believe we have one more. And it's fairly brief. Our last email is from Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
And Chris,
isn't he?
Yes.
Hi, Chris.
Chris says, what? Vince doesn't know what Blake 7 is.
Oh, jeez.
Has he heard of the film The Assemblage of the Crystal Sphere?
Who?
I haven't even heard of that.
I haven't heard of it either.
None of us had heard of that. But we looked it up after receiving your email, and it sounds pretty darn cool, actually. It's kind of a fake mockumentary. A fake mockumentary. A fake documentary.
So if it was a fake mockumentary, would that make it documentary?
That would make it real.
That'd make it real?
That would make it real. But anyway, it's all about a group of gamers and following them along on one of their adventures, or according to IMDb, Internet Movie Database. It sounds like it's really cool, and unfortunately, none of us really know anything about it because we haven't watched it.
No.
No. So what's it again? Assemblage of the Crystal Sphere?
Yes.
Okay.
So what's Blake 7 then? We never actually discussed that.
Well, it was a series written in the early to mid 70s by Terry Nation?
Terry Nation.
Yeah. Terry Nation. Basically, it's a dark future with an evil autocracy called the Federation, and this rebel leader manages to break out of prison with a few scummy people with him. They manage to find this incredibly high-tech alien ship, which they call the Liberator. And the series is based about their attempts to try to bring down the Federation. The series is interesting because Raj Blake, the main character, and maybe one of the other characters, the only really idealistic people. Everybody else is like, there's an ex-pirate, there's a computer hacker, there's a, you know, just a plain old thief, and he's fighting for realistic reasons, and everybody else is like, you know, screw you, we want money.
Hmm.
It never had an ending, did it?
Oh, yes, it did. It had quite an ending.
Okay.
Spoiler alert. Was it third season that it ended?
Yeah, end of third season.
Yeah.
Everybody dies.
Oh, big surprise there.
Yeah, basically at the end, they're caught in a rebel base. First of all, the computer hacker ends up killing Raj Blake because he's been going insane. And
the hacker, not Blake.
The hacker, not Raj Blake. Well, we don't think so. It's kind of vague. And, you know, you watch one after another getting gunned down by Federation troops. And then at the end, they gun down... You assume they gun down the leader. He's surrounded. They've got guns pointed at him. He's standing over Blake's dead, bloody body. And then they cut to the credits. And as the credits go, you hear the gunfire. So, I will say, you know, that...
So they, bad guys win.
The bad guys apparently win, yeah. Not many series would have the chutzpah to end their show like that.
BBC does that all the time with stuff.
I can't think of any other sci-fi series that ended like that.
No, but I could think of a comedy one. Blackadder.
Blackadder. Yeah, they all died.
Goes forth, yes.
Well, and they also died at the end of one Blackadder's 1 and 2.
Well,
not
yeah.
Three, though.
Yeah, but no, they did that one totally seriously. That's why it was like such a punch in the gut.
Yeah, I think Blake 7 was actually 4 seasons, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, because Blake left, was it the second season? When he disappeared? And
yeah, at the end of the second season, Blake disappears.
And and Kerhaven takes over?
Uh-huh.
Arguably the least trustworthy of them all.
Okay.
So, special effects are bad even compared to 70s Doctor Who.
Wow.
But you generally want to watch it for the stories. What?
I said I always kind of confused that. I kind of lumped it in with Firefly and stuff like that.
I never seen Firefly, so.
Firefly?
Couldn't say.
Whedonverse show.
Yeah.
That's the only one I didn't like from Whedon. Oh yeah. My god, I'm probably going to get slammed for that one, too.
Or emails.
Well, don't worry about it. I hate anything that Joss Whedon's done anyway.
Blast.
Yeah, come on. You want a piece of me? Come on. Anyway.
You didn't like Buffy?
No. I didn't like, this is not Whedon, but I didn't like Dawson's Creek either, so, which I equated with.
Dawson's Creek had nothing to do with Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I know, but they were both, anything that has to do with teen angst, I am not a part of.
Okay. Right.
I do not like.
Did you like Dollhouse?
What?
Dollhouse?
No.
Okay.
Liked looking at her, but that's fine.
Yes, Eliza Dushku, yes.
Yes. Mm-mm.
Hot to look at.
But, yeah, I have no use for angst, which is why I don't play any of the World of Darkness stuff. Curse you, Angst!
I reiterate, Toon was near the top of his list.
Yes.
Toon has never come on my list.
Like I've told you before, I have a friend back in California, Doc Cross, who says that Toon is the perfect system. You can run anything with it, and you run any character with it.
You can.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's simple enough, but it's, yeah.
No.
Now I'm digressing.
Toon might be fun as one-offs, but I couldn't play it regularly.
Well, that's what I do. I play it at conventions, things like that.
It's convention game, definitely.
Yeah.
How did we get from Joss Whedon to Toon? Anyway.
Very carefully.
Yes, Joss Toon Whedon.
Jeez.
What's that?
Is that all the emails?
I think that's it.
That's all our emails.
That's all, folks.
We'll definitely write us in. We'll do another show shortly. We like to save the emails up and read them and react to them. That way you get a better response from everybody instead of just, you know, thanks for writing in, and
well,
keep writing more.
Then we put them in a pile and burn them for warmth.
Except when they agree with me about Ariel, then they're cool.
Right?
How can they be cool when they're saying that Ariel is hot?
Well, they're cool by saying Ariel is hot.
Why do you like a chick who's a mermaid?
What?
Nice.
Princess Ariel from the Disney movies.
Wrong Ariel.
Wrong Ariel. Yeah, I was going to say, why her when Pocahontas is much hotter? Anyway.
Wow. Anyway.
Ookla, Ariel, ride!
And I think on that note, we're going to say goodbye to the Save or Die podcast side adventure number.
Was it Liz who liked Ookla? Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, when my only choices were Ookla and Thundar, you know, well, you got to...
Then you got to bring the Herculoids in there, you know.
Oh, boy.
I had Herculoids once. Got a shot, cleared it right up.
I'd take these big pills.
Well, to quote the good Dr. Forrester, push the button, Frank.
If you have any comments, please email saveordiepodcast at gmail.com or visit saveordie at saveordie.info. Follow the cast on Facebook /saveordiepodcast or follow them on Twitter at @TheEvilDM. www.d20radio.com